you are in this time of raising up the perfect, mature, wholehearted bride of Christ, and you are in this time raising up a global prayer movement at the end of the age, Lord. Let us feel what your heart is burning for in such a time as this, Lord. Grant us understanding, Lord. May you give us revelation that will strike our heart, Lord. Excite, impact, and stir our heart that we will tremble and cause a response, Lord. Not just in this house, even in this land and around the world, Lord. Let your spirit go forth, blowing the trumpet, sounding an alarm, awakening the prophetic people, the worshippers, the intercessors, the Annas, the Davids to arise, taking heed and hearing and responding to your call in such a time as this, Lord. That a mature, perfect global prayer movement may arise, not just around the world, even in this land, Lord. We know that you will not relent, Lord, and we agree with what is in your heart, Lord. May you do it, Lord. Just like you say three times in Isaiah 62, I will do it, Lord. I will set watchmen on the wall. May you set watchmen on the wall, Lord, because this is in your heart, Lord, especially in this time. We commit even this night unto you. Again, we pray and ask that as we open up the scripture, we want to hear what is in your heart, Lord. What the Spirit of God is saying in such a time as this, Lord. May your word come like a fire, like a hammer that will strike deep our heart, Lord. We want to hear more than just information. We want to receive a revelation, Lord. We want to receive an understanding, Lord. We want to understand what really stir your heart in such a time as this. Again, I ask you for grace, Lord. Anoint my words even as I speak. May I speak forth what is in your heart in such a time as this. We love you. We bless you. May Jesus increase and we decrease in such a time as this. We welcome you, Lord. O Holy Spirit, may you move in this place. Open up the very holy scripture. Let the word become flesh and come forth, stir our heart, Lord. Not more than just excite us, Lord. Cause us to fall even in a deeper love for our beloved bridegroom King, Lord. We bless you. We commit this time unto you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't need to turn to any scripture. We're going to turn to a lot of scripture. I thought today I just want to take just sidestep away from the book of Revelation. I'm going to talk about the global prayer movement at the end of the age. You know, we have been going through the book of Revelation, especially the seal. And as we talk about the fifth seal, which is really about a global prayer movement that God is raising up in such a time as this, that's kind of stirred my heart because I went into a deeper study and I realized that there are a lot of scriptures that actually talk about a global prayer movement at the end of the age. Today I'm going to give you 40, but it's not exhaustive. I mean, it's just a 1 week study. I realized that the Bible talks a lot about a global prayer movement at the end of the age. We know that Jesus is probably the most talked about person concerning end time. And the end time generation is the most talked about group of people in the entire Bible. But I realized that the scripture talk a lot about global prayer movement. Not just any prayer meetings. I'm not talking about prayer meetings. I'm talking about a global prayer movement that God is going to raise up at the end of the age. And we need to understand. And we need to know why God is raising up. It's going to happen a matter of time because it's a divine initiative. Whether we like it or not, whether we'll be part of it or not, God is going to do it. Because there's so much being mentioned. I suspect there are more than 40, likely to be more than 40, because 40 is as much as I understand, I search through what I have time. In fact, I can't even run through all 40 because I just need to read verse by verse all 40 scriptures. It will take 2 hours. I'm basically going to just run through a few key ones and grant us an understanding of why God is raising up a global prayer movement. No, this is bigger than House of Prayer. Of course, House of Prayer play a big part. No, I'm not talking about the house of prayer that Jesus described, which he quoted from Isaiah 56 verse 7, because the church will be called the house of prayer. Because we always say, and we understand, because I'm going to end with Revelation chapter 22 verse 17, because this is probably one of the most important prophecy regarding the end time church. Probably, I say one of the most important, likely to be the most important, give us the most information and is the most significant about the identity and the role of an end time church. Because Jesus quoted it three times. My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. The church will end being the bride and function as a house of prayer. Now again, house of prayer, not just in the form of IHOP Kansas City or what we are trying to do, but we are reaching a crescendo where God is going to raise up a global prayer movement. It's a matter of time. And it's not just about we think it's our strategy or our plan. It's in the scripture. That's why I'm going to talk about it. Actually, I'll use tomorrow, but I want to share something important tomorrow so that we can pray. But it's good for us to understand. Because just like the sons of Issachar, who understand the time and know what to do, we need to understand what God is doing. Because ministry and life is about understanding what God is doing and know how to position ourselves. Not trying to be smart or we come up with our own plan or strategy, but it's always about aligning and positioning. It's kind of like, I won't use the word shock, I kind of aware, but I never realized that it's talked so much. There are a lot being talked about the global prayer movement. At the end of it, I say, wow, I'm in the right line. No, this is not a business thing or whatever. Okay, let me just paint you the context. Because we need to understand the context of why God is raising up a global prayer movement. It's not about church growth, because I'm going to talk a lot about it. It's not about just praying for our needs and so on. The context is really end time. We are living in the last days. We are likely to be the last generation. Within our generation, I'm not going to prove it today because I've proved it many times. Okay, Cynthia is going to air it somewhere. Okay, yeah. We are likely to be the last generation. By this, I mean that within our lifetime, we could see the second coming of Jesus. If not us, me, let's say me, I'm probably the oldest. Maybe I'm not, I don't know. Maybe Joshua is the oldest. If not me, not within my lifetime, our children guaranteed, definitely will see the second coming of Jesus. Enough information in the Bible to tell us that. And in that context, I use the Holy Spirit is orchestrating the greatest move of God in our generation. In fact, not just the greatest move of God, the Holy Spirit is orchestrating the greatest move of God ever described in the scripture. This is awesome. And every one of us can have it. Okay, I have no time. We're going to work on this because we're going to find some time to work on this global prayer movement thing together with the book of Revelation, because we need to talk about the book of Haggai, the book of Zechariah, the book of Isaiah, the book of, what's the other one? Malachi. Because it all talks about the heart, the reason why God is raising up a global prayer movement, which is so important for especially the house of prayer movement. This is going to be the greatest movement of God in the last days. It's not just signs and wonders. Signs and wonders is the result of a global prayer movement that God is going to raise up. We're going to enter the kingdom of God as a house of prayer, fully established in the bridal identity. That's what Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 is about. You know, I was shocked because I realized that the Bible does prophesy and describe a lot of global prayer movement. No, not a lot. There's one global prayer movement. There are many passages of scripture. There are many verses. It's astounding. I was a little bit shocked. Say, wow. I just give you 40. I'm going to give you 40. Go back and read. Okay, I must work through the notes because maybe we can come up a new series called the Global Prayer Movement. I give you 40 verses. It's not even exhaustive. I just want to give you so that if I can't finish today, you can go back and read it on your own. There are At least 40. It's going to be more than 40 because I only have time to find out 40 of them. It is astounding. This is going to happen, and it's going to be the greatest move of God in our generation, and it's the greatest move of God ever. We need to understand, because not just the scripture is prophesying and telling it, we are beginning to see the signs of it. I'm going to give you some signs that's happening around the world, okay? Give you the scripture if you want to write down. I'm going to take at least 5 minutes just to give you all 40. Okay, Psalms 94, verse 1 to 23. Psalms, now there I see people begin to talk, I thought you are reading SMS. No, I know you are using your Bible. Okay, Psalms 94, verse 1 to 23. Psalms 98, verse 1 to 9. Psalms 99, verse 1 to 9. Psalms 102, verse 17 to 20. Psalms 110, verse 5. Psalms 149, verse 6 to 9. Okay? These Psalms. Okay, again, there are many. I believe there are much more. I just have no time. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 14 to 16. All are in the context of end time. Because it talks about the day of the Lord. Or when I use those psalms, I give you those psalms, they are all messianic psalms. Either in the context of Gentile believer or messianic Jewish people in the last days. Okay, Isaiah 24, verse 14 to 16. Isaiah 25, verse 9 to 10. Isaiah 26, verse 8 to 9. Isaiah 27, verse 2 to 13. Isaiah 30, verse 18 to 19. Isaiah 42, verse 10 to 13. Okay, Isaiah 42, verse 10 to 13. Isaiah 43, verse 25 to 26. Isaiah 51, verse 11 to verse 13. Isaiah 52, verse 8. Isaiah 56, which we pray a lot, verse 7. Isaiah 62. Verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 63, verse 15. Okay, this one, listen carefully. Okay. Isaiah 63, verse 15 to Isaiah 64, verse 5. Remember the famous verse, "Oh, may you rend the heaven and come down." Do you know there's a messianic Jewish prayer movement in the last days crying out, "Oh, Jesus, come back." Their prayer, "May you rend the heaven and come down." It will crescendo them praying Matthew chapter 23 verse 39 if I'm not wrong. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because they are being pressed out. If you're throwing Zechariah chapter 13, you fully see the picture. God is raising up prayer movement. I'm going to talk about three general prayer movement that God is raising up. Okay, Joel chapter 2 verse 12 to 17. Joel 2 verse 12 to 17. Jeremiah 31, verse 7. Jeremiah 54, verse 1 to 13. People ask me, how do you know? That's why it's good to understand, good to be familiar with scripture. Okay, don't just study Song of Song or the book of Revelation or whatever. If you have a wide spectrum and understanding and familiarity of scripture, when you talk about certain topic, then realize, haven't I read that before? And you can go back. That's why don't just study the book of Revelation. You will not fully understand the book of Revelation unless you understand the whole perspective of the Holy Scripture. All 66 books are important, okay? Okay, Micah chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. Micah chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Zechariah, okay, now it's Zechariah, okay, just now it's Zephaniah. Zechariah, chapter 8, 21, verse 21 and verse 22. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 21 to verse 22. Zechariah chapter 10, okay, the whole chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Okay, these are all in the context of Jewish prayer movement. Okay, Jew, okay, not Gentile praying in Jerusalem. There are no cow. Okay, yeah, I'll tell you later. No, there are some things only the Jewish people can do it. Just like we can pray Matthew 23, verse 39. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The one has to be Jewish. You can go as close as you want to Jerusalem, it still does not count. If you are a Gentile church, you pray Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. We got to get it right. Unless you convert. I'm talking about you really convert to be a Jew. So you no longer call Yo Kei Chong, Benjamin Netanyahu. You really change your whole name and make sure you're circumcised. You don't get a joke, never mind. Malachi chapter 1, verse, and cannot eat pork chop. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. Hey, I forgot. Amos 9, verse 11. Oh, this one you got to get in. Now we're at 41. Amos 9, verse 11. That means you plug it for 22. Acts chapter 15, verse 15 to 17. Acts 15, verse 15 to 17. Now we come to New Testament. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. We should be very familiar with Luke 18, verse 7 and 8. Luke 18, verse 7 and 8. Revelation. I tell you, Revelation is one of the books that talks a lot about global prayer movement. It is shocking. Do you know that every time the heavenly altar is being mentioned, is referring to prayers? And every time a judgment or decree is being issued before the altar, is clearly understood is the result of end time prayer movement. Because the heavenly altar, if you study the book of Revelation carefully, you will know that this is where the prayers of the saints will ascend and land. And once the heavenly altar is filled, God will act. A decree will pass, a judgment will be released, or a favor being given to the end time church. A lot is being talked about in the book of Revelation. We're going to mention some of these verses. Revelation chapter 5. In fact, the whole Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Okay, the whole of the book of Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11 and Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 11. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 11. Revelation 8, verse 3 to 5. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. Chapter 9, verse 13. Chapter 14, all book of Revelation. Okay. Chapter 14, verse 18. Chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. Chapter 16, verse 7. Chapter 22, verse 17. We will end with this verse today. There are a lot. The Bible talks a lot about global prayer movement at the end of the age and prophesy a lot about what this global prayer movement is about. Surely it will come to pass. In fact, I shared just now, we are seeing signs of this global prayer movement rising up over the last 20, 30 years. Obviously, it has not been mature yet. The fullness of it has not come. The maturity of the prayer movement has not arisen yet, because the book of Revelation makes it very clear. When the end time prayer movement will only be mature, the signal is when the golden bowl of incense is filled with the prayer of the saints. But there are signs, okay? Let me give you three signs around the world. It's so clear. Over the last 20, maybe 30 years. First one. Definitely there's a rapid, I use the word rapid. Okay, I realize, wow, this is another big word that I use. Amazing. Well, this is not a big word, it's a big word to me. Okay. There's a rapid increase and desire for worship, intercession, and intimate relationship with God over the last 10, 20 years in the global dimension. It's amazing. If you look around, last 20, 30 years, there is a great increase of desire. There's a great increase, you know, both quantity as well as quality. There is a great increase in the global dimension. Just go back to as far as late 80s. You know, the term intercessor is very unfamiliar in the late 80s. If you're intercessor, you will not tell people you are intercessors. It's like a bad word. Yes. Only when C. Peter Wagner, some of y'all may be aware, he began to write a series of book on prayer movement in the early 90s. People begin to understand about intercessors, and people begin to embrace intercessors. And of course, anything is of God, there will be real or flesh. Okay, nothing wrong. We just need to learn to recognize and accept. You know, anytime God moves, there's always three manifestations. If we need to recognize, because we don't just put down the fire. Fire is good, but fire, if we cannot manage, will harm too. Okay, anytime God moves, I'm talking about genuine move of God, there will always be three manifestations. One is obviously God. Two, the flesh. Because of our insecurity, we try to behave funny or whatever. That's where we need to teach people, disciple people, that we can be mature. Okay, I always feel that the word spiritual is being hijacked. Spiritual is a good thing. Now spiritual seems like if you are spiritual, you have to be a little bit weird. No, that's not true. Look at Jesus. Jesus is fully mature. When you see Jesus praying and rolling on the floor, swinging chandelier to chandelier, he's very, in better comma, mature and balanced. So that's why we need to understand. Any move of God, there will be really real manifestation of God. Two, there will be of the flesh. And third, the demonic. There always will be counterfeit. That's why we need discernment, learning how to sieve out, as well as, most importantly, know how to manage. I mean, let me tell you for sure. If one day God visit us powerfully, all kind of people will come. We need to learn how to manage. How many of you have been to Toronto when Toronto Blessing broke out? I was there. I tell you, it was crazy. Crazy in a good sense and crazy in a bad sense. Okay. Sometimes God allows it. We don't understand. But it's an issue of learning how to discern, sieve it, as well as learning how to manage, okay? So, there is a rapid increase of the desire, and both qualitative and quantitative. There's a, you know, like for example, Anna, there are more and more Anna coming forth. Okay, I'm not going to go into this Anna, we got no time. Okay, you understand Luke chapter 24, verse 36 to 38, where God is raising up Anna. Their heart desire is really to pray, to minister to the Lord, to worship, burning. You know, again, if you move back 10 years, this thing about full-time intercessory missionaries is totally unheard of. Most people will tell you, huh? You mean I'm paying you to pray? Now more and more people are doing prayer full-time around the world because God is on the move. So that the first sign, there's a rapid increase and desire for worship, intercession, and intimate relationship with God in the global dimension over the last 20, 30 years. The second sign, I'm going to go into some scripture after that. Second sign, there are major rise of many prayer ministries, intercessory network around the world, especially the last 20 years. No, actually more than last 20 years, last 30 years. This is 2010, right? Yeah, but last 20, 30 years. There are many rising up. Their ministry basically focused on prayer. Just to name a few, because there are so many, I really have no time to name. In fact, I'm kind of excited too because more and more churches are awakening to prayer. Just look at churches in Singapore. Many churches are having as much prayer meetings. Some is every morning. Some, they if they're big enough, they have 24/7, at least once a week, they're awakening. Okay, but God is going to do something. Okay, I'm going to say change it, because God is not interested in prayer meeting. God is going to put the prayer culture and the lifestyle into the DNA of the church. It's not about a meeting. There's a difference between a global prayer movement at the end of the age compared to the prayer meetings that we are having. By and large, it's not going to be a strategy. It's going to be a lifestyle. It's going to be a culture. Okay, let me just give you some prayer ministry and intercession network that's rising up around the world. Of course, we know the AD 2000 movement led by C. Peter Wagner. Okay, it's still moving. They used to be praying for 1040 windows. Now they have shifted the focus. Okay. Second, the Watch of the Lord by this guy Mahesh Chapda. Okay, he's based in Charlotte, if I'm not wrong. Okay, Watch of the Lord is a prayer movement. Of course, Global Day of Prayers. Okay, which are going to happen this month. Okay, it's not just Singapore; it's really worldwide. This Global Day of Prayer. Okay, the third sign. This one is interesting. Over the last 10 years, especially the turn of this century, okay, the beginning of 2000, God is raising up a new phenomena called the House of Prayer movement. It's quite unheard of. Just move 10 years back. It's true, but at the turn of the century, God is raising up the House of Prayer movement. Really, many places, different expression, different understanding, but they have common uniqueness. I'm going to tell you the 4 common uniqueness. Okay, just name a few. Of course, we all know IHOP Kansas City, led by Mike Baker. Then Jerusalem House of Prayer, led by Tom Hess. As well as another House of Prayer in Jerusalem, led by Rick Riding. Rick Riding is not a Jewish, right? It's not. I know Asher in Trader, who is a Jewish Messianic Jew. He's starting a House of Prayer in partnership with IHOP Kansas City. I know he's running already, but I'm not too sure whether it's 24/7. It's a new phenomena that God is raising up, and they have the House of Prayer movement has 4 uniqueness. Okay, the first one. I'm just giving you some of the sign. We're gonna go to the scripture. Okay. The first one, the uniqueness of House of Prayer. The merging of 3 movement. It's never happened before, but it's like 3 streams of river of God coming together. Okay, House of Prayer movement is the merging of 3 movement. Okay, I'm not going to build on it because no time. Maybe the next time I do it, I'll build a little bit. The 3 movement: worship movement, prayer movement, prophetic movement. I tell you, this is powerful. Powerful. Merging of 3 movement coming together: prayer, worship, prophetic movement. That's why it's called the House of Prayer in the Spirit of Tabernacle of David. It's like God is rebuilding the Tabernacle of David, which James prophesied in Acts chapter 15. It's the merging, not just prayer, not just worship, not just prophetic movement, all 3 coming together. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be powerful, because in fact, this is what God prophesied about through the Bible, about the global prayer movement. Because global prayer movement is not just prayer. Global prayer movement is not just worship. Global prayer movement is worship and prayer movement throwing the prophetic spirit coming together. So that's the first uniqueness. The second uniqueness is 24/7. Night and day. You know, this again, unheard of. Just go back 15 years. I remember the first time, I mean, not really first time, but it's kind of like first time strike my heart, Isaiah 62. God will put watchmen on the wall, give him no rest day and night. Night and day is like in my heart. Of course, you don't tell it to God. He said, are you kidding? Is it even possible? Now, without shadow of doubt, everybody will agree with you that God is raising up a night and day prayer movement. 24/7. Third uniqueness is the gathering of people at a location. We are not talking about prayer chain. People pray and so on. I'm not against prayer chain, but God is raising up something new. Let me give you a thought. It's going to be a likely scenario. Why the gathering of God's people? is likely to be the same, because if you study Joel 2 carefully, when did the Holy Spirit break out at the book of Acts? Acts 2, they were gathering together, isn't it? The likely scenario in the last days, the believer will be gathering at houses of prayer. Fifth seal, we are being persecuted. We are crying out. Everybody will be gathering at the house. Suddenly, God reenact Acts chapter 2. Not just one location, worldwide. That's why Joel 2 says what? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's like pop, 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 pop. Likely to be connected. Might be called Lo Kok Leong, Singapore Director House of Prayer. Hey, Holy Spirit is poured out. Say, yeah, it's the same thing here. Then call another place, another place. Everywhere, Acts chapter 2. The Spirit has visited in the global dimension, unprecedented, because we are gathering, crying out for the Joel 2 outpouring. There's a reason why God wants us to gather. You know, if you study the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, it's always as a community. It's never an individual. No, I'm not talking about you receive the gift of tongues. I'm talking about the visitation of the Holy Spirit. Anywhere, any revival, any great awakening is always believer coming together, crying out. And suddenly, the Spirit of God came. It's going to be the reenactment. That's why it's the third uniqueness of the House of Prayer movement. The fourth uniqueness. They emphasize on end time and the bridal message. It's the same. All the House of Prayer movement, they understand that we are living in the last days. God is raising up the bride. No, not the bride. God is raising up the bride. And what? That's why some houses of prayer, their focus is mainly on Israel. Because if you understand end time, you better spend a lot of time praying for Israel, because Israel will play a major role in the second coming of Jesus. That's the uniqueness of House of Prayer. We're going to focus on three things today. I'm just giving you an introduction, okay? Yeah. No, in fact, you know, C.P. Wagner said this. He said, let me tell you a good news and the bad news. Good news is it, you want to hear good news? Or bad news first? Of course, everybody said, let me hear the good news. So see, Bill Wagner said this. I was there at the prayer conference, Colorado Spring 2000. He said, let me tell you the good news first. The prayer movement is the fastest growing movement around the world. Oh, everybody is crazy, because you get all the intercessors there, they'll be crazy. Oh, rolling the floor and whatever. They said, now I tell you the bad news. The bad news is, we are totally out of control. It's a good thing. Now everybody get even more crazier. It's true. God is raising up a movement that no one can manage. So let me just tell you, I want to just share three things today, because actually there are a lot to talk about, but I want to talk about three things. Okay, that's why we're going to find time to talk about this global prayer movement. It gets me really excited, because wow, I mean, I never see this before. I'm going to share three things. One, what is this global prayer movement at the end of the age is about? We need to understand the why. No, it's not praying about you have pay increase or so on and so on. No, all these are good. But that God is not going to raise up a global prayer movement because you need a 13-month bonus. We need to understand what this global prayer movement is about. Second thing I want to talk about. What does the scripture say about this movement? Because we always must go back to the scripture. Okay, what does the scripture say about this global prayer movement? The characteristic, why it is so important. That's where I run through a few verses. Okay, I have no time, so I'm going to skim through quite fast. I'm going to end with Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Because Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 is probably the most important prophecy regarding the end time church. It gives us the clearest description. The clearest of the primary identity of the church and the primary function of the church. It's a prophecy that prophesy about end time church that will be fully established as a bride and fully operate as a house of prayer movement. We will be praying without a shadow of a doubt. And I said last week or 2 weeks ago, anyone who do not carry the spirit of prayer, no, I'm not talking about you are doing prayer. Anyone who do not have the spirit of prayer, like Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13 talks about the oil thing, you will burn out by then. No ministry without the spirit of prayer will exist. You can get by now. You come to the end of the age, you will not sustain. You will burn out. That's why it's time that we need to buy oil, cultivate the lifestyle of prayer. It's not the doing prayer. We need to understand. So I want to talk about the first thing, three things. One is, what is this global prayer movement is about? What does the scripture say? The third thing is Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. First one. What is this global prayer movement all about? Okay. Let me just do some knocking. Okay, no, it's a good knocking of for all of us. Firstly, it's not. Okay. Realize this, it's not. This global, next week I'm meeting some, I have Wednesday meeting, Thursday meeting, Friday meeting. They all want to find out about this house of prayer thing. I'm going to tell them, this house of prayer thing is not about praying for your church. All right? If you're not interested in inviting me to your church to speak, it's fine. But I have to be loyal to the integrity of the scripture. Okay? Because the first thing, this global prayer movement at the end of the age is more than just a prayer meeting in the church. Okay? No, I'm not saying prayer meeting is bad. It's more than the prayer meeting in the church. Okay, you know why? Let me hear me out. Okay, understand where my heart comes from. Okay, I believe it's good. But God is going to take prayer meetings out of the church. Just give yourself another 10, 15 years. God is going to take prayer meeting. Hear me out first, okay? Don't throw chairs, okay? Understand where I'm trying to come from. God is going to take prayer meetings out of the church. But God is going to put the lifestyle and the culture of prayer, the DNA of prayer, in the church. One more time. You know, we are doing prayers. Prayer is a meeting. Prayer is a strategy. That's not prayer. Prayer has to be a lifestyle. Prayer has to be a culture. And please throw in fasting too. God is going to put that in. You know, sad thing is this. I was reading a report by this guy. He's a church growth professor or something. He's a very reliable. His name is Josh Barner, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, Josh Barner. Not the Barney, okay, no. Josh Barner. He said this thing. I can't find the quote. Never mind. He basically said this. Islam has a culture of prayer and fasting. The Church of Jesus Christ do not have a culture of prayer and fasting. Sad, isn't it? We don't have. But God is going to take prayer meetings out of the church. He's going to put a DNA of prayer into the church. One more time. That's why the end time church is going to be a house of prayer. Jesus said three times, my house shall be called the house of prayer. He quoted Isaiah 56, verse 7. You know, it's amazing. Every time I think about this, I say, it's amazing. Because Jesus can describe the church in any way. But why house of prayer? You can say, my house shall be called the house of miracle, the house of power, or whatever. Say, no, but Jesus makes it so clear. And then you throw in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. You roughly understand why. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Because Jesus will not come back if the church is not fully mature as a bride. Jesus will not come back if the church is not fully operating in the core as a house of prayer. No, again, I say house of prayer, not talking about the way that we are doing or IHOP is doing or so on and so on. We will have the culture and the lifestyle of prayer like Joel chapter 2 talks about, the Joel 2 lifestyle. We will gather to pray. That's what God is raising up. That's why more and more, I'm not looking for good prayer meetings. No, of course, I'm not talking about boring meetings too. I'm not looking for prayer meetings. I'm looking for a lifestyle of prayers. That is what God is looking for. So it's not. A global prayer movement at the end of the age is more than a prayer meeting in the church. Now again, don't get me wrong. If you have prayer meetings and you have it 24/7, great. But say yes to God to impart that DNA. Okay, second, it's more than praying for our needs. Church growth, now all these are not bad, but that's not what the global prayer movement is about. It's more than praying for our needs, church growth, expansion of ministry, hear this carefully, or even a revival. God is not raising up a global prayer movement so that you can have a little bit of revival. No, revival is good, but it's something much more. Let me tell you what it is. This global prayer movement is about global transitions. We understand, you know, global, for some of us may not familiar with this term, we are transiting. This is a season of transiting. God is transiting the world from this age to the age to come. And he will take a prayer movement to bring us across. Basically, global transition is about end time. It's about the return of Jesus. It's about world evangelization. It's about the establishment of the kingdom of God. We are in transitions. That's why God is raising up a prayer movement. He will take a prayer movement to birth the transition from this age to the next age, the millennium kingdom. Let me just share three things about transitions. Because if you study the Bible makes it very clear. There are three major transition period or three major transitional generation in the Bible. All the transition period are the result of unprecedented prayers. If you study the Bible carefully, there are three major transitional periods. That means there's a major shift around the world. We are facing a major shift. Right? That's why it's not surprisingly many things are shaking, because anytime God is shifting something, you know, shift means conflict, good and bad. That's why there's earthquake and so on, because there's a major shifting. There are basically three major transitional generation or three major transition period in human history, accordance to the Bible. Every one of them is a result of unprecedented prayers. Okay, I'm going to prove it to you. The first transitional generation, the generation of Moses. The book of Exodus. You know why? Bible call it a transitional period, because as a result of the book of Exodus, God raised up Moses because of prayer. I prove it to you. God established the old covenant. The first thing. Two, God birthed the nation of Israel. Israel wasn't a nation before the book of Exodus. If you study carefully, they only become a nation when they were being led out from Egypt to, what's the land called? Okay, I forget the land. Canaan. It's the result of prayer. That's the first transitional generation. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. I'm so intense, I have a headache now. Exodus chapter 2. I'm unbelievable. I say I must develop this into a series so that we can bring this forth, because we need to know. It's not just prayer for prayer's sake. It's not just for church growth. All these are good, but there's something bigger. It's about the kingdom. That's why one of the major prayer of the global end time prayer movement is Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. May your kingdom come. We are birthing the kingdom of God. We are birthing the return of the king. Okay, I'm not talking about Lord of the Rings. There's a real king coming back. Okay. Exodus chapter 2. Right now, the verses. Okay, but we only have time to run through one verse. Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. Okay. Just read one verse. Verse 24. So God, Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. You know what this means? They were crying out to God in the midst of persecution. Sounds like what? End time, isn't it? It's a form of prayers. And God hears their prayers. And God raised up the deliverer. You know, there's going to be a reenactment. The church will be crying out at the fifth seal because the persecution will be at the highest. And God will send, the book of Hebrews says what? The greater Moses. One more verse, Exodus 3, verse 7 and 8, which God said to Moses, I hear their prayers, I hear their cry. You know, this is like reenactment of Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. I'm waiting. My heart is to show them mercy and deliver them justice. You know what God is waiting for? The cry. If you read verse 19, Isaiah chapter 30, God says this, the moment I hear their cry, I will release justice. We don't understand. That's how God works. God works in accordance to the prayers of the saints. Verse 7 and 8, chapter 3, Exodus. The Lord says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have, what? Heard their cries. They are praying. They are crying out. One more verse. I'm not going to turn to it. We have no time. Verse 12, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. That's the first transitional generation. There's a second transitional generation. Also, because of the result of prayer, it's the generation of the early apostles. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. That's where God established the new covenant. That's where God birthed the church. The first transitional generation, God birthed the nation of Israel. The second transitional generation, God birthed the church. Write down the verses. Luke chapter 4. But this is even clearer. We all know the Holy Spirit came as a result of what? Prayers. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. What did Jesus say? Tarry until the promise comes. Tarry until the promise comes. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, where Jesus said, don't go now. Wait in the upper room and pray. That's where you read Acts chapter 1 verse 14. They gather in one accord to pray. You know, let me tell you one of the sad things. If you throw in 1 Corinthians chapter, is it 1 Corinthians chapter 15 or 2 Corinthians chapter 12 or 13? The scripture recorded very clearly. 500 people heard Jesus. How many people were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came? Only 120. I always have this question. What happened to the 380? Where were they? I think either they give up, they don't believe, or they can't wait too long. We got to hang in there. Press in. Not just hang in there. We got to respond and do something about it. And because of the result of the prayer, we all know, the end of the story. Not end of the story. The rest of the story. Not the end of the story. I hope it's the end. Then we are all at the kingdom. The rest of the story is the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. He broke in. And that's where transit again. A major move being birthed. There's a final transitional generation, which is our generation, which I believe with all my heart. It's a generation in which Jesus will return. Again, that's why the scripture prophesies so much about the global prayer movement at the end of the age, because this is going to be the greatest event ever in the history of the world. Jesus is coming back. And more than that, the world is transiting. If you throw in Revelation chapter, I think it's 11, there's a great declaration. The kingdom of this age is going to be become the kingdom of Jesus now. There's going to be a major transition, and it's going to be birthed through prayers. That's why God is raising up an unprecedented amount of global prayer movement at the end of the age. And this global prayer movement is vital because it will birth six things for the end of the age. It will birth six things.